give you the desires of your heart. And I believe that as we delight in the Lord, where the Lord is our center, the Lord is our life, He will place into our heart His desires. Amen? You know, we renew our mind, He renews our heart, He gives us a different heart. I'm not talking about the one that pumps blood, but He renews those too. But your desire, you know, the closer we get with the Lord, really it's less that we want for ourselves, it's for others. Amen? And now, don't get me wrong, we have petitions, we have our needs, we take them to the Lord. Amen? We speak His word out, and what our needs are, we know that He meets our needs. But He changes our hearts. And there are a lot of us in here today, we go from very young Christians, maybe walking the Lord for a year or two, to some of us maybe 40 or 50 years. And so we can testify how He's changed our heart and changed our desires, and how we see things and see people differently today than maybe when we first got born again. But His key word today in this passage is to delight in Him. You know, do we get excited in the Lord? Do we get excited in His ways? When you read the scripture, do you get excited? Oh man, look what I found! Woo! Do you? Or maybe we read it without the excitement. You know, sometimes we can read, history. I didn't care much for school. Of course, school didn't care much for me either. But in history class, in American history, I really didn't care for any of that. I just want to get out of school. But in reality, if you look at history and look what took place in history, it says history will repeat itself. Why? Because people forget why history took place. Amen? I mean, do you ever get yourself in trouble as a youngster? You know? I did, I guess. You ever get caught doing something that you shouldn't have been doing? You know? Actually, before, I took off one night with my buddy, and we ran around all night. He was staying at my house, I was staying at his house. Unfortunately, at 8 o'clock in the morning, Bueller's called my mom, offered me a job. And needless to say, I wasn't where I was supposed to be at. You know what I'm saying? My sin found me out, yes. It just taught me to lie better the next time, you know? And after a while, you'd be like, hey, this is trying to lie about it. But history repeats itself, so we can look at what took place 100 years ago, and if we do the same, repeat the same as they did 100 years ago, we're going to get the same results. Which that can be bad or that can be good. Amen? You know, if we go back 2,000 years ago, and we look at the church when it was birthed, wow. You talk about power. You talk about having no fear. You talk about being rooted in the Word of God. Believing the Word of God. And here we are 2,000 years later. That same power is still here on earth. Amen? And we shared it on Easter, or Resurrection Sunday. That same power that rose Christ up from the grave dwells in each one of us who are born again. Think of that. When we say, oh, I just can't do this. Now, do we can't do it or we don't want to do it? Amen? And there's things that we don't want to do, and there's nothing wrong with it. Amen? But the Lord has called you to do something. I mean, you know that He spoke to your heart to do something. You say, oh, I just can't do that. Then realize that the Spirit of God in you will give you that strength, give you the wisdom that you need to do what He's called you to do. Because your life affects a lot of people's lives around you. You know? And the Scripture tells us, and we'll be dwelling on some of this today, is about faith. And how do you please God? By your faith. Amen? Trusting in Him. Now, how many people here have faith in God? How many people have faith in His Word? Yeah, how many people don't speak his word? How many people don't have faith to do what he tells you to do? How many people still hear the word of God, but you still do what you want to do? Amen? Yeah. And we wonder, why doesn't things change? Knowing up here is one thing, but getting it here into your heart, into your spirit, is a totally different thing. You know, and we are living in a day today, as we started off the gathering today, praying for Israel. Think of that. That's not a small thing, what we did today. We gathered today and we prayed the word of God. We covered Israel and his word. We gave God permission, if I may say this, to act in behalf of Israel. Well, what do you mean giving permission? That was your children. He gave mankind dominion, correct? Amen. And so we have to understand that, number one, to build a faith that when you're going to pray, that you have confidence what you're praying will take place. You know, Wednesday night Bible study, we've been, this is our second, third week now, is building prayers by the word of God. When he says that his word will come back void, okay, so what do we need to know? Yeah, his word. Amen. Amen. And he's got a lot of words there, doesn't he? But when we hear the word is given to us to build our faith. You know, we read in the scriptures, and we read a lot of things, the awesome things that happened maybe 1,500 years ago, 2,000 years ago. But my Bible tells me that my God is the same today as he was yesterday, and he'll be the same tomorrow. Amen? And my Bible tells me that Jesus is alive and well. In fact, Carol sings a song like that, okay? His spirit is still alive. His word is still alive. So we have no reason to fear. We just need to know his word and have faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. What does it take to build your faith up? The word of God and the testimony. They overcome the devil by the blood, the word, and the testimony. I know a lot of times you read it, it says they overcome the devil by the blood and the word of their testimony. But there was no punctuation when the scrolls were written. Okay? Punctuation, even the chapter number came into being until the Geneva Bible back in 1599. It was all like scrolls, okay? So, when I read that scripture, I read it as they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word, the written word, and then my testimony about how the word did it in my life. Your testimony is very powerful. Now, I've shared before, and we're talking about faith this morning. And so, I know some things I've shared before. But I have to share because that's just my life. I can't share what happened in your life because I don't know. But my faith and prayer started decades ago. And it happened one night on patrol. I was riding with a Christian deputy, and he told me about how his father went to the hospital a couple months earlier when his grandmother was dying. Go ahead, brother. When his grandmother was dying and laid hands on her and said, "She shall live and not die in the name of Jesus." But I find myself a couple years later, my mother's in the hospital dying. They called us all in. It's about 4 o'clock in the morning. And what he testified to me came back to me. Now, in the church I was raised in, we didn't do that kind of stuff. I walked in that her hospital bed. Dad and my brother and sisters all around the doctor in another room. I laid hands over her in the name of Jesus. And she rose back up again. She lived over 6.5 more years. All based upon, number one, it started with was testimony. You know? And it came back to me. I mean, it's just amazing. And I spoke his word. And God says, you know, I shall not die, but I shall live and proclaim the glory of the Lord. So that started me out and having faith in the word of God and studying it. Now, sometimes my faith is high, sometimes my faith is low. You ever been there? You ever need to pray for somebody or you want to pray for something and you just don't have the faith that's going to take place? But you just go through it just to save face. Yeah, I testified before down in Zanesville. I mean, I was called down there for a gentleman in the emergency room. And a buddy of mine drove me down, all the way down. I kept praying my prayer language all the way down. Man, oh, Lord. Man, I'm powerful. You know, I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. I'm telling you what. We're going down there and do something. I remember walking to the room, and there he was. He had a trach on him. He had things in his nose. He was gray. Not even coherent. Wow. So, my faith is really low now. Like, man, I wasn't expecting this bad. You know, and I remember walking up to the man, and I put my hands on his shoulder. I'll just borrow your shoulder here a second, okay? Just like this. Oh, Lord, just touch this man. I'll raise him up. No confidence at all in what I'm praying because how bad he looked. And I remember taking my hand off of him, walking away. I got about this far, and the fellow drove me down. He's standing over here. And the Holy Spirit told me, you going to pray for him or what? So I went back over. Now I got a bit of confidence because God told me, come on. So if he told me I'm going to do something, he got some plans there. I remember laying my hand on him again, and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I speak healing to this man's body today. The lungs can function properly. And I kept praying. I said, now, tomorrow this time I walk in here, he'll be sitting up, eating dinner, and talking to me. And while I'm praying, my buddy goes, Starkey, Starkey, Starkey. Look, and I opened my eyes up, and this guy's collar came back on his face. His eyeball is open, and he's looking at me. Wow. Now, I did come back the next day. He's sitting in bed, no trach, no nothing, and is eating dinner, talking to me, and the doctor doesn't understand what took place. Amen? But I listened to him. Amen? I listened to the Holy Spirit. Now, this is given today to us to encourage one another. Amen? It wasn't, I mean, anything it had to do with me, I had faith in God's Word. Okay? I went down there. My faith built it. But you're the same as I am. The same spirit in there. And what, as these days that we are in. I mean, right now, when we prayed for Israel, man, I can't wait to see what takes place. Because I know his word ain't coming back void, that we intercede for his chosen children. Amen? Oh, man, I can go on and on today trying to build faith. I remember Steve, you don't mind you Steve again, do I? The hospital used to call me in the middle of the night. And one of the nurses, the male nurse, I'm not sure who he was, but he would call me. I said, yeah, Pastor Starkey? Yes. I said, well, we need you to come down here and do your magic again. What? Well, he called and said, well, Vicky McKee's at the hospital. Steve wants you to come in and pray for him. And it was the middle of the night, wasn't it, Vicky? Anything I remember. Down in there. Got through the hospital, me and Vicky. I don't remember who all was there. Dr. Gwynn. Amen. Dr. Gwynn. We laid hands on Steve. Now, he was checking out. Lay hands on him, spoke the word of God over him, raised him back up again. And because of the word of God, having faith in that. Oh, I remember going to Columbus, laying hands on my buddy, been in a coma for 10 days. Then he let me in there for 2 minutes. Nobody's out in there. Laid hands on him. He woke up, came home 2 days later. We are his hands, his feet. Amen? And the more the word I know, the more, I can say, more powerful my prayer can be because I'm speaking more of his word out. Amen? Amen. The grandmother out on Main Street, I'm cooking out there on my grill, and she stopped by. She said, will you do me a favor? Will you keep my grandson in prayer? He can't walk. He's 16 years old. He can't walk. No, she was on. He can't walk. Will you keep him in prayer? She turned to walk away. I said, well, let's pray. So we stood there, we prayed, we spoke the word of God, the healing of his bone, he'd be raised up in the name of Yeshua. She left 2 hours later, he's walking. Just because of we've got faith. I've been blessed to lay hands on folks, cancer gone, sight back, dying back. Not because, this isn't about Starkey. This is about the word of God, this word that he's given to you. In this event, this time of life that he has chosen us to live. This is our weapon. And we need our faith to be built up. Not that, boy, nothing I can do. Wow, look what we can do. You know, last night, yesterday, we got a text from the folks that we follow about Israel being under attack. And we got an email where one of the churches was coming online at 7:30 for prayer. And so we got on with them. They're in Texas, are they? Down in Texas. So there's probably millions of us together praying in unison for about 12 minutes for Israel. That boom. But we did it and with confidence and faith in the Word of God. And that's what He wants us to have in our lives, is faith in His Word. Man, I can stand up a day and testify. I already testified many times, but Carol prayed over me when I was dying in Cleveland. God raised me up because my time had not come yet to depart this world. Amen. A day will come. He said each one of us have a number of days. Now, we can shorten those days, can we not? But He has a plan and date for each one of us. And I believe I will live out every day that God has destined for me if I'm obedient to His Word and follow Him and not do stupid stuff. I've done a lot of stupid stuff in my time. Amen? Amen. Now, well, I'm going to ask this for a moment, and we'll read a couple of scriptures. But now, I'm not asking for someone just to talk. But does somebody here have a testimony that's going to shake the earth, that somebody's going to get confidence built up, that you can say, man, this is what I did, or this is what God did for me or through me, that could encourage somebody else here today? Because we're always building our faith. We're always hearing. And that's what testimony is all about. Is, man, look what the Lord has done. He touched my body. He healed my mind. He saved me just in time. I wish I could sing. But anybody have a testimony of that nature here today? Penny?
Yes, that came for me. I had to take him off life support. He went up to the hospital. He came home and his wife was dead on the floor. She had a massive stroke.
Uh-huh. Yes, amen, because on behalf of others who do not know the Lord, we can tag team Him with the Lord. You know, He's waiting to be involved. He needs us to remember. I always do the old Hulk Hogan thing, you know, reaching up there's a tag team in a wrestling match, and He'll come in. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else this morning? Yes, brother.
Mm-hmm. for a number of years, and he wanted to see his wife just one more time before he died. Well, that stopped me. I mean, I thought, dear Lord, why? Why am I here? What do you think of me?
Right, amen. 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 Oh, he is. Amen. And he works through us. You know. Now, how many years ago was that one, Rick? Would you say roughly? 38? Okay. So with that one miracle, now we're 38 years later. Now, how many hundreds of thousands of people have you laid hands on? How many people you walked up to them? Hey, come on. In the name of Yeshua, I know what God can do through me. He's picking his word out. He showed that to you, build your faith, to use your hand, to use your mouth to encourage people, lay hands on the sick, let them recover. What reason? For his glory. For his glory. I mean, when that takes place, I mean, it starts off, some people say, praying for a parking spot in front of Walmart. Okay, what I'm saying? It starts off with something little that you speak out, and God takes care of it. He does it on your behalf. It builds your faith. And then the next thing you know, when people, you're around folks, and they start talking about an ailment or something going wrong, you're waiting for an opportunity to step up and inject the Word of God into their life. Amen? You have that burning sensation in you to get involved. Because sitting there and doing nothing isn't part of your DNA anymore. Jesus didn't sit there, and when people had things taking place in their life, and thinking, oh wow, I should do something. He had to do it. Right. It's inside of him. Now, as born again Christians, having the power of the resurrected Christ in us, we have that desire to do the same thing. We have that. We can't sit down. We can't shut up. Why? Because the Spirit of God won't let us. If you're born again, if he's living inside of you, and then he said, now, my word will train you to do exactly what I want you to do. And then testimony after testimony after testimony. I could stand there all day long, and we all could, testifying what God has done, not just for us, but through us, touch other people's lives for his glory. And that's what he's called us to do. Now, I want you to turn to a scripture here. You're going to be familiar with it, but I'm just going to show you how things go and ask you a question about it, if I can find the right one. I know. I had it earmarked in my Bible. Oh, that's my note about all dogs go to heaven, honey. I appreciate that. Oh, man. In Luke chapter 8, verse 40, it's very familiar to you, but I'll ask you a question after I speak this. It says, Jesus returned, the people welcomed him, for they hadn't been waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the synagogue, and he fell at Jesus' feet and began to implore him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as he went, the crowds were pressing against Jesus. and a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind Jesus and touched the fringe of his cloak. And immediately her hemorrhage stopped. And Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me?" And while they were all denying it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell down before him and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Now, my question is to you, why did she go to Jesus? Okay, but where's her faith at? So we'll go back up a bit. Yeah, I love the faith part. Hang on a second there. But it all starts somewhere like 12 years. She's had this issue. 12 years, she was not allowed out in public. You understand? She was unclean. 12 years, she'd been restricted. She went to the doctor to every place that she could go. Nothing. Spent every penny she had. Think of that. So what motivated her on this particular day to go to Jesus? Somebody was testifying. And just maybe the scripture, I think Malachi 4:2 talks about Jesus, but the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, okay? And she went after his, help me out there, Jewish person. Zizit. That's a tassel on his pershawl. See, first of all, someone had to have been talking about Jesus to go. Now, how much faith does she have? I don't know. Maybe she got to the point, hey, nothing else worked. Maybe people say, "Hey, listen, you need to come to Jesus. He can heal your body." Yeah, I hear you. But through the course of her life, whatever was going on, God was just getting ready to use her for his glory. God don't make us sick, but he take our sicknesses for his glory. And whether she said, "Okay, what have I got to lose?" And come and touch Jesus. I mean, can you imagine the power she felt? Whew. You ever grab a whole electric fence by mistake? Yeah, wow. I mean, you don't even want to grab one by a mistake, I guess, you know. But it was shocking. But she was reaching for it because she heard. I can just imagine her life changing. It to me, it'd be like, zzz. Instantly she was healed. Instantly, her life was restored. Why? Number one, somebody along the line was testifying about Jesus. Somebody testified that they laid hands on a man and he got his eyeballs back to see his wife. Somebody testified they prayed for a prodigal son and he came back to Jesus. Amen? Someone laid the foundation to her to go to Jesus. And then we sang a song a minute ago about, was it "Give It All to Jesus" or... what is it? "I Give It All to Jesus." You know, when she came out of that house that day, when she said, "I'm going to go to Jesus," she said, "I'm going to give it all to Jesus." Why? Because she's going to go to jail. She is going to go to jail. She's passing all these people. "Oh, get out of here, get out of here." But she was determined to go to Jesus and nothing stopped her. And look how her life changed when she decided to give it all to Jesus. We are the same way today. Yeah, she could have got in the crowd and stayed back a little bit. I'm going to follow behind him. You know? He's a miracle worker. I'm waiting for him to turn around and call my name. And say, "Hey, woman, come forth." She wasn't waiting for that. In fact, he was headed out. As we know, he will lay hands on this 12-year-old girl. She's come back to life. So his mind was, "Okay, I'm going this way." Now, whether she knew he was headed somewhere else, to another house, I don't know. He had this big posse, or whatever you call them, around them. Followers. A crowd? Well, thank you. I know I get there sooner or later. And even with a crowd around, so I'm going in there. This is my last chance. My only hope I got now is Jesus. You know, it's funny, though. I bet after she touched him, he became her only hope. And she shared up other people. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Now, another one here. I got it marked. I can find the right one. I want to talk to you about when they tore the house open, Carol. Again, it's talking about how great it is to testify. And that testifying about the work of the Lord is to bring Him glory and not ourselves. Amen? Like Brother Rick was saying, you know, look what God was able to do through me. But the first thing that had to take place was Rick had to surrender his will to the Lord. Guide me, God. I'm not sure what to do. He told you what to speak, and it took place. And He'll do that for you. Each one of them, He will tell us. Now, I can't, I'm really near the scriptures in Luke chapter 6, I believe I am. But my marking is gone. So I'm going to tell you about this guy who was sick, laying in bed, paralyzed. And if you can find the right scriptures, let me know. I'm not going to read it, I'm going to summarize it. But he was paralyzed in bed, and he had four friends come along. They said, man, we need to take this guy down here to Jesus. He's down around the corner of his house, and he's healing people. So they gathered him up, and they carried him down to the house where Jesus was at. But the place was packed. And they said, well, you know what? We'll get credit from God, because at least we came down here. Is it our fault? They only had 100 chairs in there instead of 150 chairs? See, they had a different story. They had faith in Jesus. They knew what Jesus could do for his friend. And they didn't come that far just to go back home with their friend the way he was. So what did they do? Remember? They climbed the roof. Oh my, can you imagine somebody coming to the roof right now? Amen. I can imagine Jesus sitting there talking, sharing the word of God. Place is packed. And he said, what is straw hitting me in the head for? And he starts seeing this hole opening up. Now he sees this stretcher thing. Would it be like a rug coming down from the ceiling? Friends is bringing this guy, paralyzed guy, down in front of him. Wow! Jesus saw their faith. What motivated him? Their faith. Did they take the man and throw him down the hole and took off? No. Their faith. But we learn something really awesome. When Jesus speaks, what's the first thing he says? Your sins are forgiven. So what's more important, to be able to walk around for 30 more years, or have your sins forgiven? Have your sins forgiven. I think myself, right at the moment, that Jesus saw the most important thing was saying, your sins are forgiven, because he had that guy's attention yet, amen? He has to be scared, don't you think? I mean, if you four guys are lowering me down to the ceiling, don't drop me. They're nuts. Are these Jesus freaks they talking about? So you get there in front of Jesus, and he looks at me, because my eyes are going to be like the size of oranges, probably. You know, I don't like heights to start with, okay? I'll be like, I look at Jesus. And he looks at me. He's got my full attention. Your sins are forgiven. Okay. I just come through this hole up here, man. So pick up your mat and walk. Can you imagine to reverse that for a second? He comes down. I'm looking at my eyes, Rebecca. He says, Starkey, pick up your mat and walk. Oh, wow, man! I'm running out the door, and he's yelling, hey, your sins are forgiven. Hey, your sins. He took care of the most important thing first. Your sins are forgiven. And we can't overlook that fact either. Amen? Yes, sin can cause sickness, can cause disease. It can cause all kinds of stuff in our bodies, right? That's why we need to repent from it, renounce it, repent to the Lord, and declare His word, by your stripes I am healed. And then go day by day by day. In the same way, we can't forget that as we pray for others. As the opportunity leads, and sometimes it doesn't, somebody's in the hospital, they're not awake, you lay hands on, but we got to share with them the gospel of not just the healing of the body, but what Jesus did for us at the cross, healing us from our sins. You know, scripture says, what is a man who gains the whole world but loses his soul? And right there, that moment, Jesus had that guy's full attention. Of course, some people got upset, you know. And the scripture says, you know, the Pharisees got, oh, who are you to forgive sins? Well, just for you to know that I have power to forgive sins, pick up your mat and walk. And that's when they were flabbergasted, like, ah. Oh. So again, our healings and healings of other is always there to show God's power, His glory, and His love. And He takes it from there. We need confidence in our prayer. We have faith in the Word of God when we pray. And trust God to take it from there. Myself, when I lay hands on someone, I pray over them. I pray the Holy Spirit leads me. I leave it there. I don't say, and Lord, let thy will be done. Okay? He already knows that. Let your will be done. Sometimes we want to pray that just because we want to keep faith. You know? I mean, you ever pray for somebody and they died? I have. I prayed over as the Lord led me. I have confidence that God knew what He's doing. I shared again last year with my brother. He confessed Christ as Savior and Lord. Well, I was, in the name of Jesus, rebuking this cancer. 2 days later, he's gone. I have all the confidence in the world I'll see my brother again. I know God's will was done, that no one would perish. How strong would my brother be if he were back up again and on his feet? I don't know. I just trust God. Same way my buddy Mike Russ laid hands on him. And God told me, Mike had no legs left. And he said, Starkey, if I would have healed him, he would have grew his legs back, he would have walked himself into hell. But with no legs, I carried him to heaven. And so again, having confidence in the Word of God, not a cop-out, just that His will be done. I mean, and that's where our testimonies come from, to bring Him glory and to pray for one another. I have a few more scriptures I want to share next week, if you all want to come back. You know, when we always close out the service, I always say that if anyone's in need of prayer, they come down to the altar, and the praise and worship team will pray with you. We'll stand on the Word of God, and if you're not sure what the Word of God is, we'll see what it is. So never be afraid to come down for prayer. Yeah, I don't ask for prayer out in public. Has anybody got a prayer request today? Because a lot of times, people mean well, but they end up telling, they're talking about somebody else. Okay, not in a bad way, but you know, if my wife would have went to church, maybe she did. Anybody got prayer? Yeah, will you pray for my husband? I tell you what, he's just worthless. Not worth it, but he don't know Jesus. And he needs to come to know Christ. So will you pray? Well, then I can imagine coming to church someday. You know, in fact, it did happen one time. You come to church and someone like, hey, we've been praying for you. Well, my wife been telling you about me? You know, I'm not coming back anymore. You're going to be praying for me, you know. Why I need prayer for? I'm perfect. So I thought. See what I'm saying? But as you were gathering her small group, You know, pray for my husband. It makes a lot of difference that way. Amen. Because not everybody sitting here have a relationship with Jesus yet. Good people were still looking. But they would leave here, go around the corner, and everything that we prayed out loud for today. Oh, you know what they're doing? They're praying for that Bonnie Haig down in Dresden. I don't know. I think she's a wild thing. Yeah, we better pray for her. Ned back here going, nope. But see, that's why if you do have a prayer concern today, as I close out this part of the gathering, come down, we'll pray with you. Or like many of you do, you're texting for prayer. I mean, I normally text you back a prayer. Or Penny, leave me a message on my answer machine. Yeah, if you ever call for anything, leave a message, please. Yeah, I spent most of the day yesterday in bed. But I got the message. But if you call and don't leave a message, and I see that you called, I'll figure it's not important. I won't be calling back. But anybody else have a testimony today? One more, then we'll have our prayer and close out. Yes, Charlie.
Yeah, I had a good point in the doctor.
Amen. Cancer free. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I believe that the more we brag about Jesus, the more the Father wants to see us brag about Him. You know? And I know some things He does in our life is personal, and you wouldn't want to stand up here and testify that. And God understands that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But when He does it, you know, we've testified before. We didn't have any money and found $5 in my coat pocket. You know, I don't know how it got there. I always spend all my money. If I give God the glory that somehow it's been reserved for me. Amen? Amen. And a good thing to help your confidence to stay strong, your faith, do like Carol does. I mean, she has her entire life on a notebook of everything that God's done in her life. And it'd be good for each one of us. You know, I keep saying, I don't have mine all written down. But I need to write it all down. And again, we are followers of Jesus. Can you hear me okay? My ear just plugged up more. Can you hear me okay? As followers of Jesus, we are still writing the book of Acts. This is awesome. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the gathering this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it's written down where we can read it. And tonight we can read it again. Tomorrow we can read it again, Lord, to bring us strength and confidence and build our faith, Lord, that we recognize we are truly your hands, your feet, and your voice, Father. Thank you for putting us in this generation to share the truth, God. Thank you that we can make a difference. Whatever this world is doing, that we can interject you into it and be that light and the salt, Father. Again, we thank you for this country we live in. We continue to pray for our leaders of this country, that they yield themselves to you, that we'll stand up for Israel, that they make laws in this country that glorify you. And those who are detrimental to those laws, be removed from power, Lord. May justice be served. But may you be raised, and may them come out of darkness into the light. We place the blood of Christ over our children, our children's children's children. We declare they are our inheritance. We have a great inheritance, and your word says that you shall rescue them and bring them from the dry lands back into the watery creeks. And we declare that today to be true. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is awesome.